Good evening, everybody. I must say, the Shulchan Aruch we're going to be learning tonight in Mitzvah Hashem is much more interesting, if I may say that. It's probably not right to say. It's not right to say that, but I'm going to be politically incorrect now. It's much more interesting this cycle than last cycle. I actually remember going through those halachas very quickly, and I said, it's not really relevant today anymore. It's got no halachic application anymore. And that was when we learned it 5 years ago, whenever the last cycle was. This time round is now post-pandemic, extremely, we can't even think of a more current, contemporary, it can't be more halacha l'maaseh. It's unbelievable. It's about how we define a pandemic. Middle of that. Okay, whatever, Nusach, I'm not going to go into that now. Okay, whatever, sorry for mentioning that the pandemic might be on the... So it's fascinating how relevant this halacha is. How do you define a pandemic? When does a pandemic become a pandemic? At what stage do you think would you define that something is considered dangerous? At what stage would you say that it's something which is acute, that is not just localized but beyond? How do you define?
Especially a certain number of people perish every day.
Okay, and how do you define that? According to WHO, what define a pandemic?
Maybe you don't include the ones who would have died in the care home anyway.
Okay, so do you count? Very good question. Do you count all people? No, no. Very good. So once you've got a figure, you need so many people who die, then who is included in that? So it's very good questions. Very statistical. I don't know. I'm very impressed. There's a whole science called statistics. You can go to university and study that. How long does it take? It's fascinating. It's true. You've got, that's why we all know that statistics can lie. You can alter the information statistics very, very easily. In any, if you've got any particular agenda, you just calculate the statistic differently. It's not difficult once you know how to do it. So tonight we're going to be looking at that a bit, as well as some other halachas. So as we're up to Siman Tovkuf Ein Vav, page 98. Okay, so the introductory line is Halezidvorim is Anonym Astrin. So I know we discussed now that you fast on any great tragedy. No, that's not what we said. We said you fast for what? You fast for? So far we've learned on. You fast for?
Rain.
One fast if there's a lack of rain. So the Shulchan Aruch says as follows. Just like one would fast on rain matters, of lack of rain, similarly, not only one fasts because of a lack of rain, but one also fasts for any other crisis or tragedies. What are the examples given? If you've got Gentiles who are about to wage a war against the Jews, and they're about to attack the Jews, then that would be a justified reason to start fasting. Or if they don't physically attack the Jews, but economically, financially, there is some real threat, a financial threat, an existential financial threat. One could fast as well. Or if they're about to steal some land.
That was most of history, that they placed taxes on the
Eden. Absolutely. They would fast. Often they did, absolutely. Well, the truth is, not always, and the reason is going to be explained in Mishnah Berurah why. So you're right. Sometimes yes, sometimes not. Or if there's any spiritual threat. Not allowed to keep Shabbos. Not allowed to do Bris Milah. Not allowed to, what were the other ones?
Rosh Chodesh.
And more recent, of course. But more recent, what else was there? Shechita, yeah. So if they say no more Shechita, so, yeah, absolutely. So they would warrant, they would allow the Jews to make a tarnas. Afilu mitzvah kal, even if they don't allow us to do a light mitzvah. Elu mis'anu asinat sheu chamo. You won't want the Yidin allowed to fast and cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu until HaKadosh Baruch Hu is komasi. Ve'chol ha'orim she'sivu yisem mis'anin. Not only the actual place fast, but the places around it also fast. The areas surrounding also fast. But they wouldn't blow the shofar. Elim kein, toku liska b'sleiz osam. Very good question.
They want us to teach certain things in school, so that also warrants a fast. Is that righteous?
I don't understand.
The government wants the Jewish schools to teach things that aren't in the opposite to Torah law. So wouldn't that warrant a fast?
What do you think?
But it wasn't just in America as well.
When Ostek came, we didn't fast, we bought them cakes and we bought them.
Yeah, they wanted to teach.
Takeaways. There was so much food when Ostek came, you can't even, even touch, feet couldn't touch the ground. We filled them up with loads of food. There was no fasting when Ostek came.
They wanted us to teach.
There was eating. No, it was comfort eating for us.
There was to teach.
There was bribery from there.
They wanted to teach protective characteristics.
So I think the answer to your question is because it's not. I think that it's not. I think that the answer to your question is because even, see, this is about forcing us. In your case, this is not. These alternatives, this ultimate thing, there is kind of alternatives where it's not, and if you do fail, then it's not immediate. It's not as opposed to an existential threat as mentioned over here. So therefore, even if they didn't go straight in order to fight the Jews, the Eden, but they were about to pass. So they don't have anything specifically against the Eden, but they are passing by in order to get to another place altogether, but they are passing by nevertheless. There's no direct specific war against the Eden. But they want to fight other Eden around, the other Gentile nations further down the road, but they're passing the Jewish settlement, allowed to fast. Why so? Why does Shulchan Aruch say one fast, even if the.
Once they're there, they can start eternal Yidden as well.
History proves you're right. Very frequently, and you don't have to go that far back. Whenever there was wars, and the Eden were always, even in the buffer zones, in the areas where the Eden always got into trouble, always first ones to be attacked. So therefore, even if it's not specifically directly against Eden, but if they are just passing the Yiddish areas, you know to fast. The Mishmuin Sif Kotna Aleph says, in the name of the Rambam, Kosev Rambam Mitzvah Zasemina Tehera Lizoik V'Lariyal B'Chatzo Yitzvah Kotzo Shalo Yisov Ala Tzibu. The Mishmuin brings the Rambam. Whenever there is a dangerous situation on the Eden, there is a Mitzvah Mina Tehera to daven out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to fast. Mitzvahs ase min ha-Torah, biblical mitzvah. To cry out to Hashem, v'chatzroi tzois, with shofar, with blowing of shofars, when is a danger and a threat on Klal Yisrael. The Mishmu therefore says, why nowadays we don't do that? And he says, tzorchin. Yeah, that's a good example. The Rambam doesn't learn from there, but it's an absolutely correct comparison. He brings it from a pasuk. brings from Adam, you look at Mishnebu, he brings from other Psukim. The Rambam learns other Psukim. But you're right, it's a good Mekoyim. He says that whenever it's a tzor, klalis, it's Misa Sidras. He says not only that, but if a person fails to daven Tokos Poch when it's a tzor, he's actually Oivon Odei Aisa. And he talks specifically about fasting as well. Yeah.
Which
of Ve'ilachtim Imi Bekeri. You're going with him in a, what's Keri? In a mikre way.
Chance.
You don't believe that Kodesh Boch runs the world. You don't see a direct connection between your own action and a Kodesh Boch's punishment. If a person doesn't see that, that's Ve'ilachtim Imi Bekeri. Yeah. The Mishnah Berurah says in the name of some achronim that perhaps it's only in Eretz Yisrael that one should blow the chatzoitzos. Yeah. Now, so what would you say about pandemic? Fast on a pandemic or not? One should fast.
Maybe.
So what would be considered lots of deaths?
And would it make, what about Yidden when dying, but
okay, let's go with the figure now. Let's try to figure out an amount. How many deaths would you consider would warrant fasting? People dying genuinely because of this pandemic. Percentage, people, amount, how much would you say? There must be a formal figure for that. Shulchan Aruch says a figure. Says Shulchan Aruch Siv Beis, V'chein ala deva. Any epidemic, you also fast. Ezu deva. So he says as follows. Ir sheish b'chamesh meis ragli, there's 500 men. V'yotzim enu shloy shomeisim, b'shloy shomim. Out of 500 men, 3 people die in 3 days.
3
Make a percentage. I think that's the way I would find it easiest. 3 people in 3 days.
3 people
out of 500.
What's the significance of 3 days? 3 people every 5 days.
No, 3 days. Shlosh amesim b'shlosh yomim zechazeh.
9 out of 500 over 3 day period.
Yeah, right? 9 over 500 over 3 day period. 1.8%. So there's 70 million people in the UK. So one in 80 a day. 1 in 80 a day. Shlosh amesim b'shlosh yomim. So it kind of continues. Yotzu b'yoyim echodo b'abo yomim. If they, it's 4 days, and the devil, that's not considered a pandemic. If you have got 1,000, if there's 6,000 people, if there's 1,000 people, and there's 6 people dying in 3 days, also, Yotze b'yom echad or b'abo yomim, and the devil. If you figure out the percentage according to that, and let's add the following important factor as well. And the noshim v'ktanim v'zkenim, the women are not included, ktanim are not included, children are included, v'zkenim, old men are also not part of it. Shavs melocha, retired men are not. Well, how much is it? Quite a lot. 4,000 a day.
Why doesn't it include men?
It's not included. We'll speak in a minute. Retired men who are not working, also not counted. They're not included in the count of the oval figure. If there was a pandemic, there was an epidemic in Eretz Yisrael, you fast elsewhere, the surrounding areas too. But if there's a lot of back and forth. There's 2 countries which have a lot of business interaction, both will fast. If there's a lot of, if there's a lot of, what's that called, commerce, if there's a lot of intermingling, then you add them up as one society, even if they're far away. Why are women not counted, children not counted, and old men not counted? Exactly, because they're weaker. They're weaker.
It's not because
they're not, if you're trying to figure out the danger threat of the pandemic.
Isn't it because they're not productive work-wise?
Nope. No, we're not as racist as that. Said Shulchan Aruch Seif Cotton, the Mishnah Berurah said in Seif Cotton, hey, b'chlal min an shem medina fishin chalusho is hamezek, they're weaker. He says you don't count them because even if they would be affected, chas v'shalom, it's terrible. It's terrible, but you can't. It's not necessarily because of the. You are trying to figure out the danger threat of the pandemic, so you can't. You have to count on the healthy, strong men. But however, nowadays we don't fast if there's a pandemic. Why not? We didn't fast. Nobody fasted. Why? Says the Mishnah Munsif Cotton Base, that's it. There's no fasting nowadays for Deva. The Menusa, it's well known. A person doesn't drink and doesn't eat. He's more likely to get, he's vulnerable and more likely to get affected. Therefore, one would not fast nowadays for any pandemic. Okay, Rabbi Yisrael, that's it for this evening. Over to you.
Evening. Parshas Arav. Parshas Balak. So, I was learning with my chavrusa earlier this week on Sfas Emes, which was like, I always understood that Sfas Emes as being quite easy to understand, but then as we started learning, I was like, well, this is not so easy to understand. So he says, so the pasuk we read, beginning of the sedra, V'yara Balak ben Zippor eis ko asher asa Yisrael le'emori. So Balak saw everything that the Yidden had done to the Amorites, right? And then you carry on, and V'yago Merav mipneyam Moed ki Rabhu, and Merav was disgusted by the people because they were formidable. Right, that's how I have a translation here of Ki Rabhu, because they were formidable, and some say apparently because they were many, whatever that means. Yeah, and then we say later, Balak tells Bilam to curse the Yidden, and Bilam goes ahead and curses them. Right, so the question that I identified from the Sfas Emes, the underlying, you know, like we say, like, what's bothering Rashi, right? So what's bothering Sfas Emes here that I thought is that Balak is saying that they're formidable. Let's say they're formidable in their militarily, because, you know, they went and destroyed all the different people that they came across, the Yidden. And therefore, Balak says, curse them. But how's it? Someone who's great in militarily, how does it help to curse them? Gather together many peoples and make a big war with them. How does it help? Especially if you don't necessarily subscribe to Ruchnius or either of something spiritual. That how can you affect? Like how does affecting something spiritually help in the war in this battle against these people who are formidable, right? So the Sfas Emes explains that, it's very deep, but what I understood with my Chavrusa is that, so he says, he makes a hekesh, or it seems like a hekesh, to a posuk in Tehillim, Lamed Aleph, when it says, so that when we said Ki Rabhu, because they're formidable, the Yidden. So he makes a hekesh to a pasuk which says Marav Tuvcha Asher Tzafantcha Li'Recha. How abundant is the good that you Hashem have in store for those who fear you, for the tzaddikim, right? So he goes on and talks about the Or HaGonos, right? This hidden light of the Torah, which when Hashem created the world, I mean, we've heard of these concepts before. I mean, obviously the extremely deep concepts, but we've heard of the concept of Orgonos. I've seen it in, this comes up in the Gemara, you know, Orgonos, which is stored up for the Siddiqui when they when they come to the next to Ayim Haba. So this light that Hashem, when Hashem made the world in Maaseh Bereishis, there was a light of the Torah that he hid away, right? I don't know if that was because of the Chet Adam Arishon or why he hid the light away, but Hashem hid away this light in Maaseh Bereishis, and our mission apparently is to find this light. So the Yidden, so the Sfas Emes says that the Yidden of the Dor Midbar, the Yidden now of as we're describing in this Sedra, they, as they travelled around from after leaving Har Sinai, they were able to reveal this light, despite all their complaints. I don't know how you rectify, you know, they're complaining many times, and Moshe Rabbeinu had to save them. But despite that, the Sfas Emes said that they revealed everywhere they went, they revealed the light of the Torah in those places they went to. And then we skip to a later pasuk. So the pasuk where Balak sends messengers to Bilam to say, I want you to curse them. He says, "Hine am yapsam in Mitzrayim." There is this people that left Mitzrayim. Hine chise es ein haaretz. They cover the eye of the land. I'll return to that in a minute, actually. So what I thought was that I think the Sfas Emes is saying is that when he says ki ravhu, because that they are formidable, he realizes that, but Bilam is effectively saying that even though militarily they look very strong, what he's actually saying is that they have this light, and this light because of this spiritual light they have with them because of the Torah, that's why they are so powerful, and that is why I have to curse them. So it is an opposite. They are great in, they're great spiritually. I have to now curse them. So he understands that, and the spiritual endowments makes them militarily great, because we know whenever something physical is matched by a spiritual reality, right? So I was thinking, what's the connection to what we've been learning until now, right? So I think we said it in the said it at some point in the mission for the last couple of weeks that we have a fast. It's something which we're fasting because of a spiritual malady, or you know the base of Mikdash was destroyed, or whatever it is. It's something which is ruchniastic that we've lost from the world, we're putting a physical restrictions on us by fasting to make up for that. What's the connection? How does the physical restrictions make up for this ruchniastic thing that we're commemorating? So I think that we said that in the Mishnah Berurah, that someone who just fasts physically but doesn't remember, doesn't restrict himself from the, you know, he goes on a tiyul, he hasn't done it, he hasn't done very much. The fasting has to be matched with teshuvah. I think I remember when I first became Bar Teshuvah, I was learning Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, and Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says about someone who goes on a tiyul, he's just taking the toffee, just fasting, but you're missing the whole point of the day. The whole point of the day is the teshuvah that's supposed to come with it.
Shares pillow, so they're just holding the toilet thing, but it's going to the
mikveh. Right. So I thought that was an interesting link between the sedra and the upcoming fast that what we've been learning in Mishabur, and the upcoming fast which we have on Sunday. Good Shabbos.
Very good.
Thank you very much. Thank you so much. A couple of things before tackling in line with what you said. The fast we were fasting on. The Tanis is on Sunday, Mitzvah. So that means that there's no, I suppose, no shir on Sunday.